The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to depart from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. And while he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel passage plays a pivotal role in the Gospel of Luke, because shortly after the Transfiguration, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, and for the next 10 chapters, Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem for the last time. Scholars call this section of Luke the travel narrative. Theologically, what is taking place is Jesus is gathering all who will believe in him as he journeys to Jerusalem in the new Exodus that will culminate in a Passover, which is the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper, marking the deliverance of all who follow him being freed from sin of bondage. This new Exodus that Jesus is bringing about is both similar to the old Exodus and different. Both involve God saving his people by gathering them up and moving them by a divine means to the promised land of milk and honey, or in an imaginable place that eyes have not seen nor ears have heard, which God has prepared for us. The old Exodus began in Egypt and ended in Jerusalem at the time of King David and King Solomon. The new Exodus began with the Transfiguration and will end with God's people entering a heavenly paradise. As part of the Red Sea was the divine event in the Old Testament. The divine event in the New Testament is Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, and ascension that will set all who believe in Jesus free from sin. This new Exodus allows us to enter into heaven. His passion opened the gates of heaven that had been closed since Adam and Eve. And so, being the gates are open now, we can, what Bishop Barron says, do right worshiping. The right worshiping of God, according to as God told us, as Jesus told us, through his gifts of salvation and mercy. The new Exodus begins with Moses and Elijah appearing with Jesus as sign of the Old Testament, testifying to Christ. A sign of unity of God's revelation through the Old Testament and into the New Covenant. The God who spoke to Moses and Elijah in their days in this is the same God who reveals Jesus and is revealed in Jesus today. Now, Peter does not grasp the full significance of the situation. And so he suggests that they should build three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Thus, assuming all three, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, are of the same status. Although he had previously, the interesting, Peter had previously confessed that Jesus as the Christ of God, the Son of the living God. Here, at the Transfiguration, he's not consistent with his talk. When he's praising and saying God is, Jesus is above all, and now he equates Jesus with Elijah Moses. And this is why he said he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he doesn't. But it all works out because the voice from heaven, the voice of the Father, descends upon them and reminds him he is the Son of God and greater than the great prophets and or the leaders of old. Also, God the Father's presence is manifested in a cloud, as frequently seen in the Old Testament. Again, a new tie to the Old Testament. For example, a pillar of a cloud or fire led the Israelites through the desert for 40 years. And the tabernacle that Moses built was enveloped in the cloud when it was dedicated. If, in fact, the cloud covering the tabernacle in the desert is probably the most significant connection with the cloud of the Transfiguration. It marks Jesus out as the new tabernacle, the dwelling place, the presence of God, indeed a unique tabernacle of God. After the voice of the Father speak, "This is my chosen Son, listen to him." Only Jesus remained, showing that Jesus is the fullness of revelation. While the law and the prophets testify to him, Jesus lacked nothing in himself. He is completely the Word of God, the God made flesh, sufficient in himself for our salvation. The Transfiguration, the glorification of Christ at the top of the mountain at the beginning of his Exodus journey, foreshadows his crucifixion. Paradoxically, glorification of Jesus on another mountaintop. At the Transfiguration, his glory is visible. It's understandable. We can see it. At Calvary, his glory is hidden under humility and sacrifice. Yet the greatest glory of God is his mercy and his self-gift of love that he gave to us on the cross. The cross is the glory of Christ and the glory of Christian, since it signifies the ultimate gift that God gave to us and allows us now to become right in the love of our Savior. During Lent, through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we learn to take up our cross daily. That is to make our lives into a self-gift of love to others. Through these practices, we experience a new exodus from our bondage to physical desires and pride. As we walk in this new exodus, we then become true children of God, people who live in freedom and walk in faith. God bless.